So recently we've been studying from the book of Ephesians. We have looked at the blessings that we receive from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Spirit. We've looked at praying over each other, and last week we talked about exalting Christ in all things. This week we're continuing in our study of Ephesians. We're going to be taking a deeper look at grace. What it is, how it works, and why we need it. Our scripture this morning is coming out of Ephesians chapter 2. And starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Sorry, after singing, I got a dry throat. This is God's plan for salvation. There's more that we can learn about salvation from other scriptures. Jesus taught on salvation throughout the entirety of the Gospels. The Old Testament led up to his coming and proclaimed our salvation through him. The other letters to the other early churches are full of teaching on salvation. But these 10 verses give us a foundation for understanding both how and why we're saved. We were dead. This isn't tired. This isn't lost. This isn't gone astray. This is dead. The Greek word that Paul writes here, nekros, literally translates to a breathless corpse. So understand what this means. Before God called you, your spirit wasn't dying. Your spirit wasn't searching for something more. You weren't hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God. You didn't have those abilities. You were dead. Your spirit was a breathless corpse, dead in sin. See, the world likes to look at religion as us trying to find an answer to the question, why? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Why do we feel things? What is our greater purpose? But the reality is that without God's calling, we aren't even aware that something greater could exist because we're dead. Paul writes that This death is following the course of this world. You see, this course, this age in which the world is natural. We can't escape it. We can't do anything about it. It just is when and where we are. It's normal and universal. We're in an age of natural, spiritual death. It began with the fall in Genesis. It's reiterated throughout the entirety of Scripture. Romans teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wage of sin is death. See, we're born into this natural state of spiritual death, apart from God. And this death finds its source in Satan. He was the first to fall. His fall, his influence, led to the fall of mankind. And Scripture teaches that he rules the hearts of those bound in spiritual death. Hebrews 2 says that he rules out of a fear of death. So when we were dead, Satan has our minds so twisted that we're afraid of dying, even though we're already dead. And we can't comprehend our death because of death. Without God, we follow Satan in his death. Paul calls us sons of disobedience, but in essence, we're sons of Satan. Now, just because you're here this morning, just because you've been saved, just because you know how this story goes, don't think that you can skip over that part and that death doesn't apply to you. Because the playing field is level. This is something that I have to remind myself of all the time. See, I grew up in a church where my dad was an elder. My mom played the piano. I grew up singing hymns of faith. That was my story. I was surrounded by people living life. But I was born into death. It doesn't matter if your story is similar to mine. It doesn't matter if you've never met your father. Your mother's a prostitute. It doesn't matter if you've never taken a drink in your life. And honestly, it doesn't matter if you showed up here high this morning. We all come from the same place. We are all sons of Satan. This is why we need grace. This is why we need saving. Because apart from God, we have absolutely nothing except for our own death. But God. See, the how and the why of our salvation can't be separated, because the answer to both is found in those two words, but God. You see, death is the reason why we need salvation, but it's not the reason why we're saved. We're saved because of the great love with which he loved us. God desires us. He desires you. He desires me. He desires us so much that he poured out his mercy and he gave us his grace. Now, mercy and grace are different. Mercy is withholding something that we deserve, and grace is giving us something that we don't. See, if my kids are misbehaving, depending on what they're doing, they know the consequences for their actions. And in our house, some of those consequences, some of those actions merit a spanking. Now, if Alyssa's misbehaving, and because of the great love that I have for her, because I look at her and her big blue puppy dog eyes are staring back up at me, and I don't want her to suffer, I choose to withhold a spanking. I'm a merciful father. I have poured out my mercy on her. Now, if I take it a step further and I go and get her a popsicle, now I'm gracious. I am a merciful and gracious father. And in this situation, you might be thinking to yourself, you're also a terrible father. And you would be right. You see, the difference between what we have the ability to do and our ability to understand things is that God's mercy doesn't withhold suffering and in turn allow us not to learn a valuable lesson. In fact, God allows us to suffer and learn difficult lessons all the time. Without God's mercy, we wouldn't suffer. We would be dead. God's mercy withholds death. And his grace gives life. He gave us this life while we were still dead in our sin. It's important to understand that this isn't something that we did. This isn't us. This is God. Paul makes a point here that Christ's life is the grace by which we are saved, by which we have been given life. It's also important to understand that this isn't a new lease on life. This isn't some kind of miracle drug, some kind of miracle cure that gives us a second chance. This is life the way that God intended it from the beginning. This life doesn't help to change us, doesn't help us become better, doesn't help us grow from our position. It makes us something completely different than we could have ever been on our own. This life makes us part of God's family. And the best part is that God does this just because he wants to. Just because he wants to. He wants to pour out his grace. He wants to show his kindness. We sing a song here called What a Beautiful Name. One of the verses of that song says, you didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. It's not that God couldn't survive without his dead creation. It's that he didn't want that existence for himself. He wanted to be with his creation. His desire has always been for us. It's always been for you and for me. So he did absolutely everything that he could so that we would be able to be with him. And he continues to do everything to show the immeasurable riches of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This grace, this life that's poured out on us We're able to receive it through faith. But this faith is not something that we could muster up on our own. This faith is not born of us. Even our ability to receive God's grace only comes because He allows it. Because He gives us the faith to believe in Him and to accept His grace. This faith is the gift of God. Paul specifically says that our faith is not a result of works, so that no one can boast. You see, we've been working since the beginning, trying to achieve status with God. We thought in the garden that we could do it by eating from both the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We thought that that would make us equal with God and that we could share life with Him in that. We thought that we could build towers that stretched up into the heavens and find ourselves next to God and be in relationship and be equal with Him that way. We thought that we could claim lands, that we could start wars, that we could own people and property to build ourselves up and make us equal with God. But even though we have done all of that in the name of God, we've never once found ourselves next to Him through our works. It's only by God that we are able to be with God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Next week, we're going to take a deeper look at what those good works are and how we can walk in them. But in the context of grace, in the context of our salvation, understand that you are His workmanship. You have been from the beginning. Earlier I said that the how and the why of our salvation can be found in the words, but God. Because honestly, it's all about God. It's all about His glory. It's all about who He is and what He is able to do. Now, He's chosen us to do His work to and through and with us. He makes us part of Himself, part of His family. But even in that, it's still about Him. It's still about what He's accomplishing. Because He seeks us out because He loves. He seeks us out because He desires. He seeks us out because He has the ability when we don't. And now, because of Him seeking us out, we have the ability to live with Him because of His saving grace. We have the ability to walk with God because of the grace that He's given to us. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the gift of faith, which has allowed us to receive Your grace, which has given us life in Christ Jesus. Thank You for the ability that we now have to give You the glory that You deserve. And God, thank You for these people whom You have called out of death and into life. Father, breathe your life into us as we continue to seek you out. Amen.